see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast.
Testing.
Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Oh yeah.
It's going by the book. Going by the book.
Well, good afternoon, family. Welcome back to the Watchful for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Campbell. I am the host of this program, this show, and you're welcome to listen. Today, I'm going to talk about racial manipulation. I'm going to talk about how they're manipulating all of us. We're all races, you know. And the Pope gone bad. We'll talk about that as well. Family, we hold on to our world, our so-called religious leaders. It's only one. Only one. What are they supposed to serve? Who are they serving? Where is the glory supposed to go? Always to Jesus. Isn't that who they serve? Isn't that where the church is supposed to serve? Jesus? Is that not what it's all about? Now, if you want to make up your own religion, you can go on ahead. I mean, you can do that. You can make your own creator. You can create your own creator. You can create your own world if you want to in your mind. But how many of those that follow a spiritual path, how many of them in our history has created a universe? How many? How many scientists have created at least one little cell amoeba? Have they done that? No, they haven't. They manipulate. They are architects. You know, architect, the great architect, that's what Masons call him. The great architect, does an architect create his own mortar? His own nails? His wood? Or whatever he uses? Does the architect create that? No. Builders do. Creator, or the ones creating the building materials, where'd those guys get it from? They didn't create the materials for the materials. The architect didn't do it. He just puts things together. It's already created. See, you Freemasons out there, you don't understand that. The great architect, where'd he get the building materials from? You ever ask that question? Ask your Master Mason that question. Where'd it come from? It's always been here? You want to believe that now, right? That the universe is self-existing? It's always been here? Really? Inanimate, great universe, create itself. It's always been here. So nothing has always been here and created nothing from something. It just gets ridiculous. So you have, then they contemplated it and they said, well, let's at least fool them with something called intelligent design. That will satisfy the Christians that are lukewarm. And it did. So we have an intelligent designer. Who is exactly that intelligent designer? What precepts does he have? What rules does he make? Or does he just put us here just to go and kill each other? Oh, and love and all that. Yeah, that's good. But evil reigns. I'll talk about that today and in Bible study tonight. God's there waiting for you through Jesus Christ, but he's got a whole different plan. And that plan is contained 100% irrefutably in the King James Bible. It's there, and there's no taking it out. They are going to discredit the King James Bible eventually. Big mistake. But to discredit the King James Bible, you have to have what's called a great falling away. A complete disbelief in your current system of a creator that created the universe, of Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, that's got to all go away. So that means you have to have something that humans can see, touch, feel, smell. They got to have some kind of threat upon them that's, here comes men in white horse. You know, you can always tell when the good guys of the TV show or movie is going to come, because you look at the clock. It always works that way. Notice that. You always know when the good guys are tied up and they're dying, or the other one, you know, they're getting shot at. You know somebody's coming. You know why? Because it's written in the script. Don't that give you some satisfaction and to know that you're watching all this stuff between the first 40 minutes, 45 minutes of a TV show or a movie or whatever, 2 hours. You always know at the end, the good guy's going to win. Now they've got movies where they don't, but the other movies and sitcoms and all this, the good guy sitcoms, well, that too. All these TV shows that are drama and detective and Criminal Minds, all this stuff. They always come at the last minute. Why? Because it's in the script. So you're settled with that. You're okay with it. Now, wouldn't it be something if such a letdown if the script writer didn't write that in? How long do you think that show would last? If always the bad guys always won, TV would fall flat, wouldn't it? It's all in the script. Well, now you got a script for real life. Real life. It's called the King James Bible. You'll find what's going to happen with 100% chance of it happening in your real life. Not some script writer, but one who has given you prophecy with 100% chance of success. It's called the Book of Revelation, coming from the Creator himself, God. Isaiah, Daniel, that I shame to use the word channeled, but inspired by God to write. Only time God really wrote with his finger, he didn't need a pen. With his finger, because his finger has power and energy in it, to cut through the molecules, the atoms of this rock, to give you the Ten Commandments. If the book, the Bible, was materialistic, it was written by man, is said that Moses, being told from the bush that to carve these, so he would have taken a chisel and hammer and chiseled out the Ten Commandments, but he didn't. He did write the 613 instructions of the law while he was up on that mountain. But God, it says specifically, God gave him the Ten Commandments, original and copy. Of course, the originals got broke, right? Were broken. Then he went back up and got some more. God, I don't think God made a mistake in the next 10. Put that in the Ark of the Covenant, which the Ark of the Covenant is not on earth, it's in heaven. Scripture confirmed that. The Ark of the Covenant is with God. God took it with him. It's in the Bible. They're going to pop up with this Ark of the Covenant with blood on it. Ron Wyatt is full of mud, I'm telling you right now. They're going to find on the shroud, which is a fraud, blood on it. We've done a scientific analysis of this shroud and the blood on it. We've done a scientific analysis of the Ark of the Covenant, which was underneath the mound of the skull, that this blood that's leaked through this crack from the cross of Jesus' blood all the way down 20 feet or so on top of this ark, right on top of it exactly. Because, of course, they had to pre-position the ark, and they had to know that Jesus was going to die there exactly on that same spot. They had to really set it up. God's not a God of confusion. So the blood on the ark, the blood on the shroud, will match the Antichrist's blood. You watch. Oh, they got a Hollywood production that won the Oscar coming. Chemtrails and Bostromian Barum Nye Bait, 3D holographic imagery, extraterrestrial. The long-haired Jesus. There's no long-haired Jesus. The glory of a woman. Don't say glory of a man. The glory of a woman's a long hair. Don't say the glory of a man's long hair. Just the woman. Back then, you had distinguishing, you know, men and women are different. Do y'all know that? A man's different than a woman, physiologically. They are different. And God distinguishes them different. Now, today, they're not. Today, it's all messed up on purpose. So the glory of a woman is a hair. So Jesus is not going to have long hair. These dreams that people are getting about a Jesus with long hair and flowing white robe, I believe the dreams. It's not Jesus. That's Yeshua. Yeshua. Sanand Emmanuel. Fallen angel who's going to come to you as a false prophet. The false prophet of the Bible. That's your sacred name movement, Hebrew roots movement. That's what they're sporting out. They're not telling you that. Some of them don't even know that they're being used. Oh, there's a lot of deception. Even the very elect will be deceived if that were possible. Hollywood production coming was planned in 1917. Look up John Dewey. Look up John Dewey. Bill Cooper talks about it. Who's that actor? Oh, yeah. Ronald Reagan. Actor. He's another liar. It pains me to say that. I always thought he was one of the top presidents we've had till I discovered who he really was. He's a Knights of Malta. Another liar. I have to let you know that because it's the truth. And it pains me to say that, but it is a fact. Now, don't believe anything I tell you. Do your own research. Challenge what I say. Now, whether you come back and tell me or not, or give me accolades, it's not my concern. My concern is that you know, on your own, by yourself, that you found this information out. Or if you didn't, well, I'll point you in a direction, and you find it out yourself anyway. Do your own work. I don't mind if people use my work. I don't mind if they try to discredit it. Just as long as the doggone truth is found, is all I care about. If I make a mistake, man, tell me about it. Tell me about it. But give me the evidence. And then I correct it on the air. I don't care. What I care about is that you know the truth. And that I know the truth. Because that's always been my search. And to do that, I had to separate myself from man-made dogma. The King James Bible stands. I had people coming on my website, and I'm going to dedicate the broadcast here, and I know that I need to do it, but yeah, absolutely. But I've had people come on my website just recently, Facebook, Watchman for Jesus, and said, no, you're wrong. I said, wrong about what? There's 27,000 contradictions or problems with the King James Bible. I said, really? I said, I promise you, you'll not find one out of your 27,000. And every one of them will be destroyed because it's your orchestrated misconceptions coming from Jesuits and New Agers and Wiccan and Freemasons at the highest level. And those trained, given little cheat cards that they, on their computer, that they copy paste, all this stuff that they're taught. There's no I or J or something. They always come up the same thing. Rabbits eat cud. I don't know what. I mean, it's like copy paste. 101 contradictions of the Bible, use this, and they'll put them through a class or teach them. And each one, I just say, look, man, let's just cut to the mustard. I'm going to send you how all these so-called contradictions you've got can be contradicted by the truth. I'm just going to send it to you, and you just use it and leave me alone. You know, let's just cut through the mustard. Instead of me copy-pasting the countering of yours, you know, back and forth, man, just take that and go with it and do your thing. Because you're ultimately responsible for your soul. You know, let's just cut all the mess out, nonsense. So I just copy paste. I just send them the link. Well, there's like, I got like 100 answers to the contradictions. That give them the scripture, give them the solution, and there you go. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. The attack on the King James Bible. Massive. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast and family. Let's get moving here today. I got a lot to cover. And I got some debunking to do and all kinds of stuff going on. I will tell you, though, it's increased. The attacks have increased exponentially more than ever. Lord, we thank you today. Father, we pray to you. We call upon you, Lord, to bless us today, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Father, we lift up to you our worship. Father, our love. Father, we thank you for your word in the King James Bible. Father, we need that Holy Spirit to come down upon us today. Father, need it to come to me, Father, to guide me today. And every day I do the broadcast, Lord. Forgive me of my sins as I lift them up to you. Guide my thoughts in the right path. Father, as I depend upon the Holy Spirit to touch my heart. Father, I call upon you to listen to other prayers today, all the prayers. Father, you hear them all. For the healing of their loved ones. Father, those that's lost to be found. And Father, for divine appointments set up that others can, Father, get to know the word, love of Jesus. Father, to give us that wisdom and discernment to cut through this deception that's being put upon us. And Father, to write the word of God in our hearts, Lord, that we can be able to counter or be able to spread the truth or, Father, to witness to others, whatever the case may be. Father, we pray for children that's being abducted. The tens of thousands of children being ritualistically killed for these Wiccan, these Satanists, and the evil upon this earth. Father, we pray for return of Jesus, that, Lord, that he'll come here soon and take that throne in Jerusalem. And, Lord, we pray on that full armor of God, Lord, that we want that belt of truth to put it on our waist. And to put on that breastplate of righteousness. To show us the truth about ourselves. That on our own, we could never be good enough to live in your presence. but Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we're given that direction that we can live better and show us the right way and show us any sin that we might need to confess. And soon, Father, through that conviction so we can clear it up. Father, we pray on that sandals of peace. And we thank you for the peace you've given us to trust and follow you. And Father, show us how to help others to find that same peace. And put up the shield of faith. And help us to have our faith in you. And to choose to count on everything you have shown us about yourself. Father, through the faith comes through ourselves. But Lord, we pray that you will give us that courage, Lord, to strengthen our courage. Give us affirmation and divine appointments. Father, we put on the helmet of salvation. And Father, it guards our thoughts and promises us salvation for today's battles and for all eternity. And finally, Lord, we put in our hands the sword of spirit, the weapon, the word of God, the King James Bible. And we thank you for the scriptures you've given to us, for us to memorize, us to learn, and to use those to fight the wiles of the devil, to cut through the deceptions and gain your victory in any battle we may face today. And Father, we do pray for the veterans. We pray for the citizens. We pray for those not even been in the military that, Father, are contemplating suicides. Father, divine appointments can redirect their thinking. And Father, we pray against all this legislation that they're coming up with, this euthanasia. We pray against the Wicca that's putting it through in Oregon and in Texas, that the Wicca covenants there, the ones in Asheville, the ones in Virginia Beach, Father, West Virginia, those all in the north, all these Wiccan covenants, Father, to be singled out by the Holy Spirit, to pull out of them, to strip down their protection, that those that are, Father, seeking the truth, that, Father, the Holy Spirit will guide them to even turn over entire covens, that they'll all be saved, or some will be saved, that, Lord, that will take away the mind control of Satan upon these covens. But, Father, to shut down their operations and shut down rituals and shut down their prayer groups that they have, the prayer chains that they come up with, Lord, to shut them down and break them up. And then bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts and use this as a guide to lead them to your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, to expose those that are false. Father, these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I was doing some research last night, and I was astounded. I'm not going to go into detail, I don't think. I always say I don't, but I tend to always do. About the ritualized sacrifice of children in this country. Well, in the world, actually. I mean, I'm surprised every time I read something different. It's unbelievable. The ritualized sacrifice that goes on is the rule, not the exception. In one case, for example, a Wiccan, a little grandmother kind of lady, that you would think would make you chocolate chip cookies and a glass of milk and just sweet as you can be, was into Wiccan big time. And their grandson or young guy, or girl, young girl, yes, granddaughter, was sick. Just sick, you know, with flu or something of that nature. And she had a pet owl that she loved very much. But to get her better, the grandmother came up and was petting the owl and said, you know, this is one you love, but you need to get well. Well, the gist of it is a life for a life. The little girl never saw her owl anymore. Family, these people are evil. It's a life for a life is the Wiccan and the witchcraft. That's how it really works in the background. You understand this? A life for fulfillment of a legislation. A life for advancement to the next level. This is why those in the actors, actresses, legislators, etc., is in the Wicca, which most all of them are actually, lose a family member and you'll notice their career takes a leap. That is why. That's the ultimate sacrifice of the individual to gain prominence, popularity, riches and wealth. To move up, somebody has to die. This is how it really works in real life. This is the rule, not some exception. This is what's really going on. The Russians sacrificed an entire plane of their soccer players some years ago. We sacrificed 911. I'd say that's pretty important. Druid. To open up a portal of a convergence center in New York was a sacrifice also in Washington, D.C., Pentagon. And both were planned September 11th, Pentagon 1941, Cornerstone, World Trade Center, September 11th, 1966, Cornerstone, was laid by Masons. And that was the sole purpose of both of those attacks. To lead into a new world order by the year 2000, opening them a portal by 2001. They never got the new world order, but they got the demonic entities into this realm. That was the whole purpose of 911. Inside job? Oh, yeah, to say the least. Blame it on who? First, it was Muslims with box cutters. Then it was, what, a year later, 2 years later, three, something like that? The Zionists did it. So, oh, okay, I got you. Israel and the Islamic terrorists are working together, right? Well, actually, they are, along with American government and the European government and the Pope and the Vatican and all that. Absolutely. No question about that. It's a Luciferian agenda. And, yes, they're working together. Did you know that the kings of Saudi Arabia are not even Arab? They're Jews. Did you know that? They're in the same bloodline. The Irish Knights Templar controls the money, not the Jews. And the Irish Knights Templar controls the finance, economics, for the Knights of Malta. That's the enemy. If they're a member of the Knights of Malta, they worship Lucifer. That's fact. They blame the Jews. They blame the Arabs. But we're talking Scottish, Irish, English. Family, this is not toward an ethnic group. This is toward those that worship Lucifer of all nationalities, mostly Italian and German, the old Roman Empire, the synagogue of Satan. Boy, they don't like that told. I'll tell you that right now. Well, I just told you. Your step is not to believe me and chase it down yourself. You got to do the work. But to shorten it, pray to God he'll lead you in the right path. Family, you got to know what's going on around you because it's going to fall apart. And then it'll bring it back together. That's called the first seal. Right now, they got a fake World War III being popped up. They got the fake false prophet, not the real false prophet, the Pope. A fake Antichrist, that's Obama or whatever. I don't know whoever they'll pull out of the woodwork. They got to have a fake before they bring the real on. That's called the dialectic. A great deception is coming. Now, you all that are Christian out there that like to argue about when the rapture is going to be. There's people that's very adamant. There's a pre-trib rapture. There's those that's very adamant. There's no pre-trib rapture. How dare you say that? There's a post-trib rapture, the last trump. Then there's those that say, well, it's about mid-tribulation. Okay. Has ever dawned on anybody at all that nobody knows? Has ever dawned on anybody that you don't really know? That every group that says the rapture is this, that, or the other always have scripture or some way? The Bible is written through the Holy Spirit so well that no one person can say, I am the prophet and I can, because the Bible tells you. But it don't tell you exactly when. You notice that? If it did, you wouldn't have all these different ideas when the rapture is. Man, forget the rapture nonsense. That's God's business, not ours. And you'll never know anyway. What your business is, well, my recommendation is that you take Jesus as your Savior and not worry about it. He wants to take you at a pre-trib. That's his business. If he wants to take you at mid-tribulation, at the sixth seal, before the first trumpet, that's his business. If he wants to wait to the seventh trumpet just before the seven bowls, that's his business. While y'all arguing about it, you're going to be left back, no matter when it is. He does have to remove the church before the trumpet of judgments come down. He has to remove the church out. Mid-tribulation, they say, run for the hills at the abomination of desolation. Of course, that one named Jonathan Click, he grossly misidentifies what the abomination of desolation is. Grossly. He is Illuminati. There's no question about that. So they got people confused. Abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist marches into Jerusalem and declares himself to be God, has them to stop their sacrifices of animals, and he marches into the temple. Well, the temple's not built yet. Sacrificing of animals officially has not started yet. So things have got to happen before. But when he declares himself to be God and marches into Jerusalem to take the throne with the mark of the image of the beast there in Jerusalem, it's said in the Bible to head for the hills in Jerusalem, not in America, wherever, but in Jerusalem. Just leave now. So that means you have mortals that are believing this, that leave and just go to the mountains where they'll be protected by God, like he protected the Israelites in the desert on their way from Egypt. ...144,000 eunuchs will come out and start evangelizing. The church has to be gone during those trumpet judgments, because he does not call the elect to that judgment and turmoil that's going to happen that period of time, that last 3.5 years. Today there's an effort to try to demonstrate that the tribulations are all done, that the 70th week of Daniel was in 70 A.D. That's Calvinist nonsense, absolute total nonsense. The first seal has not even been broken yet. We're waiting for that to happen. That means the Antichrist has got to appear first as a good guy. False prophet will introduce him. That's the first thing that's got to happen. And then comes the falling away. The book of Enoch will take priority. The book of Urantia. Book of Enoch is accepted by atheists, Muslims, Christians, New Agers, all of them accept the Book of Enoch. Book of Enoch was never written by Enoch, ever. It's written in the first century by Ophelion, they call him Enoch. Master Ophelion Enoch, a fallen angel, by the way. Book of Enoch is 80% true about the fallen angels and about 20% nonsense. It's a Gnostic book and pretty much exalts the fallen angels. Just announce them to take the place of the King James Bible. Big mistake. That's why a lot of folks push the Book of Enoch, because they're trying to subjugate the King James Bible and prepare for that. So they swear the King, the book of Enoch. It's nonsense. Nothing about salvation in it. And it's not the Enoch of the Bible, even didn't even write it. Couldn't possibly have. Well, it says so in the book of Jude, they say. No, it says the prophecies passed down by word of mouth three generations before Noah. Noah just passed the prophecies down by word of mouth. But see, the prophecies or the knowledge given to Enoch, God would have given to the Old Testament prophets anyway, also. Didn't need Enoch to write a book. God's not going to change. So he gave the same knowledge, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, John of the Patmos. They wrote it down, not Enoch. The real Enoch, the one who was translated and taken up to heaven, didn't write any book. But he didn't have to. Because the same God that brought Enoch to heaven translated his body from life to immortality would also inspire the coming up after Noah, the prophets of the Old Testament, prophets of the New Testament, in the same knowledge and prophecy that would give Enoch. So Enoch didn't have to write a book, you see. They won't try to exalt this false book of Enoch because it covers the fallen angels as gods. That's why. That's the trick. And the name Yeshua is the name of the false prophet of the Bible. Yeshua is the fake Jesus. His long hair. And he will come as a so-called alien, ascended master, the Kalki avatar, the Prince of Peace, Krishna, Bodhisattva, Maitreya, Imam Mahdi. He'll have all kinds of names. He'll fulfill the messiahs of around seven different messiahs in one. That's why they're pushing the sacred name movement, Hebrew roots movement. They call him like, there's like 15 different derivatives of Yahuwah, Yahuwah Miyasach or something nonsense like that, Yeshua, Jeshua. I have documented in the Illuminati own textbook, Signs of Christ, the name Yeshua as this person. They tell you right there in their own textbook. Oh, they're coming up with an Oscar production. It's on the way. Family, focus on Jesus. Because it's going to get sticky. And the witchcraft is increasing. A life for a life. The life is in the blood. They mock the sacrifice of animals. They mock the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by killing, sacrificing children to fulfill their goals. A life for a life. We're coming to an interesting sign. Since the birth, the fall of man, eyes were opened by knowledge. Adam and Eve went against God in the first gospel. What was the first gospel? Only gospel he gave them. He told them about, you know, how to love and all that. And also the law was given to Abraham before Moses. They told him, God taught him. But the only gospel, really then, because they lived, Adam and Eve was harmonious with each other. It wasn't like Adam was over Eve. They were harmonious. They were equal. After all, when they sinned, God put man over Eve, then not equal. Man was to dominate. He was to lead. He was to go out in the field and work after he became mortal. But before then, it wasn't. If it was that way, God wouldn't have had to made Adam over Eve. She could give birth without pain. Because it says in the Bible, now, because you've sinned, because you have blood, because you've sinned, you're mortal, now you're going to have pain in giving birth. So as opposed to, well, apparently she didn't have pain before that. And Adam didn't have to work in the field. He just had to frolic around in the garden, just pick something off the fruit. He wasn't eating meat. Check it. There's a big difference that happened when man sinned. Follow man. But of course, then again, why? Because free will was free. Make your own choice. You had to have a choice. So the choice was, eat the knowledge of, do not eat the tree of the knowledge of evil. It wasn't the fruit, the contents of the fruit that caused it. It was the act of disobedience. But God had to have a choice. He had to give man a choice to exercise free will and obedience. You give him free will, you know, and say, well, that's the only choice you got. You know, so you got to give him the choice to, and that choice has got to be really delicious. It's got to be really something going to pull him that direction. Whether it's an apple, a pomegranate, or something you don't even know, doesn't matter. It was an object that said, do not eat of it. This is my gospel to you. And if you do, you'll gain knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge of good and evil. Excuse me. Knowledge of good and evil. It's a lack of wisdom he did it. But this is the tree of life, immortal, to live and love, and we work together, and I teach you, and we'll worship together. Jesus walked with him then. Jesus was here before the creation, because Jesus was God incarnated when he came on earth as the only begotten Son of God. But before that, he was the angel of the Lord. He was supernatural. He was the emissary between God the Father and man. The Trinity, they're all one. It's a mystery, granted. But the fall of man, when Adam took that apple, he disobeyed God. Their eyes were opened by knowledge. That's when they saw shame. They had the realization of shame. They hid themselves. They covered themselves up. Satan has been using that all along to capitalize on the guilt. It's always been. That's how Satan gains control, through guilt and lust. What I'm telling you today, God's put in my heart to tell you. This is what's going on today. It's always been happening. As a matter of fact, to show you how they do it, watch. It's written. What's that woman's name? Oh, Ayn Rand. Evil to the core. Ayn Rand was a mistress of Philip Rothschild. Paul Ryan. These guys follow Ayn Rand. She's evil to the absolute core. She's dead now, but she wrote a book in 1957 called Atlas Shrugged. It's a textbook of the Illuminati's teachings to their little children on how to carry on the next agenda. In that book, it's a fictional book written with actual strategy, put the fictional storyline. That's what it's for, to hide it. So people read it, they think, wow, that's amazing. That's what's going on today. Yeah, it's a textbook under your nose. No kidding. Well, cashing in on the guilt. It's how Satan works through his minions like Ayn Rand and Rothschilds and all the others. Case in point, quote, Vladimir Lenin, a student of Adam Weishaupt and student of humanism, I'll lead you to it, he says, and I quote Lenin, the best way to control the opposition, that would be us, is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and rebellion, okay, you will have repression and dictatorship by consent. So they foment, using a dialectic, they foment the rebellion. They want you to rebel. They want to have dissension. So they put radical groups within the religions, within the military, within certain interaction. They put the dissension there. They want it there. order out of chaos. Now, that justifies repression and then to form a dictatorship. It's justified. That's what Protestantism was all about. It's what Islam was all about. They created all that. Now you know where ISIS comes from. Al-Qaeda. AKK. Black Panthers. You got it? That's how they do it. They always form, in every group, in every century, they always form a counter group or a revolutionary group in the middle. Well, I got some good stuff for you today. That's who does it. They work both sides always. Now, watch. Ayn Rand in her book says, and I quote, "There's no way to rule innocent men." There's your innocence. "The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals." Well, when there aren't enough criminals, or we could say enemies, when she said, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that becomes impossible to live without breaking the laws. But just pass the kind of laws that can neither be observed nor enforced or objectively interpreted, and you create a nation of lawbreakers. And then, here we go, you ready? You cash in on guilt. Now that's the system, Mr. Reardon. That's the name of a fictional character. And that's the game. And once you understand it, you'll be much easier to deal with. Actually, it should have said in that once you understand it, you'll live much longer. You won't be assassinated. You see how it works? That's the reality of this world. The way to control the opposition is to control it. That's the way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. So going back, that's where Satan has always cashed in on the guilt. Once he got them in the knowledge of good and evil. That's what happened. Free will was what God used. After, then became okay to eat meat. It became okay to take in the life of an animal to be used as sacrifice in anticipation of the coming Messiah the next thousands of years. Always a Messiah, but this one was real. They have a desire. The Illuminati and their elite have a desire and a plan to lead up to living 200 years using transhumanism. Stem cell research, that's where your stem cell research is all about. It's not about you. It's about them maintaining that body to be possessed so that they can live like they did in the days of Noah by using technology, DNA manipulation, alchemy, to extend the life of the body they've possessed for 200 years. 1985, they cloned a pharaoh. Obama's Egyptian, by the way. Now, they want to use nanobot technology and transhumanism to have the body repair itself and not age. And be careful what you wish for there, fellas, because you're going to get it, because God's going to allow it. Because when the tribulations began and the torment of that last 3.5 years, you're going to wish you were dead and you will not be able to die. That's in the Bible. You know the holding of secrets, taking a blood oath? Freemasons. Knights of Malta. Secret societies. Wicca. You know the holding of secrets is proof that your cause is weak? Because you don't want those praying to pray against your secrets. God already knows it. He's going to reveal those secrets anyway. There's nothing you can do about it. God has no secrets. Because God's in control. He knows what Satan's going to do at all times and those under him. God's doing and what he's going to do is given to mankind. Tried to kill Jesus, didn't he, when he was born? Angel got ahead of it. Before Herod could act, they're always ahead. God's always ahead. There's no way possible. You can defeat it. It's always in the history already. God's already ahead. He already knows the end game. He just gives us free will and an opportunity to do what we want to do. And those that make the wrong choices, well, that's your choices. God just knows what Satan's going to do before Satan even knows of the choices he's got. See, Satan has no wisdom nor discernment. A lot of knowledge, but no wisdom nor discernment. He has no ability of future travel. So you Joint Chief of Staff, four-star generals, and you scientists that's at the highest level, you're not dealing with time travelers. There's no time travel. There's an illusion of it to hook and crook you. But God's the only one with the dimensional capacity to really see the future. He already knows it to the end. He's just given us opportunity to make our decision. It's coming to an end, though, because he shows us the signs of the times. You ever think about it for a minute? Why I destroyed all life except for 8 and 2x2 animals and some extra animals for various reasons? Because the entire earth was in wickedness and DNA manipulation. Everything, everybody, everything there, plant, animal, earth, everything was corrupt. He destroyed it by water. Except for 8 that were righteous. And the women, the wives, did not carry some DNA. God would not allow that to happen. So the fallen angels came back in the second wave of watchers that started the process all over again. And looking at the cursed line of Cana, Cush, to Nimrod was the weak line because of the curse of Ham. He saw his father's nakedness, no sex involved. Oh, I know, that's what people believe. But there's a difference in seeing your father's nakedness and uncovering it. Two different things entirely. They forget to tell you about that. As disrespect of parents, disrespect of your elders, you might say, that he saw the nakedness of his father and didn't cover it up. Went back and started laughing about it. He was cursed for that. It's part of the Ten Commandments anyway. All this is part of it. To weaken our resolve, to weaken us through this sinning. Now, I'm getting kind of off track a little bit, but this is the basis of what's going on today. It's causing us to sin against God, which leads us up to one way that they do it is by racial manipulation. And all this is connected. Now, watch this. I'm going to see if I can find this. Okay. It's quite complicated, to tell you the truth, about how the Bilderbergs, the Club of Rome, all these organizations they've planned, orchestrated, unbelievable. And what I try to do is simplify it to show you how they've manipulated our lives from the day we were born. In many different areas. Now, I came across one of their plans that I'm going to relate to you, I hope. let's see, 1 second here. We go back here. Let me take a peek. 1 second. Oh, gone. About what Lennon was something else. Oh, here we go. Whew, glad I found it. Check this out. Going back to 1907. A time frame, thereabouts. When Lennon, 1904 to 1905. Lennon was a student of Adam Weishaupt and the humanist. And Lennon had said, and listen to this very carefully, because this applies across the board with all their objectives, destruction of the family, to destroy the country, to manipulate racial differences to cause them to fight each other. You get tired of fighting each other because they're initiating it, just like I said a little while ago, how they have on either side, they have revolutionaries either side that wants to fight each other. When the crowd really don't want to fight, the revolutionaries inside, they cause them to fight, or almost have to. It's called the Gillian dialectic. Well, watch this. Pawns in the Game, page 126, William G. Carr, 1958. Lenin said, and I quote, "The best revolutionary is a youth devoid of morals." Now, as I talk about this, as I talk this little paragraph here, think about how they're doing it today. Did you have morals at all? A family unit structured, nuclear family, father, you know, is a breadwinner and the mother is a homemaker and, you know, leave it to Beaver and father knows best, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, before 1940s, 1950s. Then all of a sudden it just went to pot, no pun intended. In 1960s and 70s with drugs and anti-war demonstrations, everything against whatever you believed in all belonged. Just went to pot, man. Just like that. It was planned by Tavistock. Edward Bernays, going back to the 1900s, they put it to use. Edward Bernays, nephew of Sigmund Freud, got it. Sigmund Freud was an avatar. He is channeled, no doubt. He's a Satanist. So they had to get rid of the baby boomers, 1952 to 53, because they received the instruction from the correct family unit before, the proper way and all this. They needed that to foment the wars. So after the baby boomers, they started working on the children of the baby boomers. So look at what you got today. Apply it to this paragraph. Here we go. The best revolutionary is a youth that's devoid of morals. His word being law in communist organizations. All members work secretly to make young people of both sexes antisocial and immoral. Children up to teenage are taught to rebel against the discipline of the home. Parents are represented to their children as old-fashioned. Parental authority is scoffed at. The subverters argue that parents have lied to their children since they were old enough to listen regarding Santa Claus and where babies come from. The subversives claim that parents are the victims of reactionary teaching and capitalistic exploitation. The child is encouraged to educate the parents in regard to modern and progressive ideas. They're warned that for their own good, they must refuse to be dominated or disciplined by their parents. The purpose of this subversive campaign, let me say this again. The purpose of this subversive campaign is to destroy the sanctity and unity of the home, which is a foundation upon which our civilization is founded. family that goes back to Adam and Eve. Now, watch this. Let's connect the dot. You say, well, Tom, you know, that's history, and that's 1904. That was, you know, back then. I'm going to say, really? Is that a fact? I say, well, then explain me this. Explain to me then, and why he's still working. He should be at McDonald's. He should be a manager by now. A Dr. Chester Pierce, of medical doctor of Harvard University. Worthless doctor. I'll tell you why. Because this Dr. Pierce of Harvard University, he was talking to the 2,000 teachers in a conference in Denver, Colorado in 1973. You know what this Dr. Pierce of Harvard said to these 2,000 impressionable teachers? He said word for word, and I quote, every child, and it's 1973 now, about 70, 80 years after this quote from Lenin. He said to these 2,000 teachers in Denver, Colorado, quote, every child in America entering school to age of 5 is mentally ill. At the age of 5, he's mentally ill? Okay. Because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers at 5 years old? Anyway, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating international children of the future. Unquote. You say, well, Tom, that's just one person. I'm going to say, really? I'm going to say, well, what about Paul Branwyn, influential educator? He taught, quote, any child who believes in God's mentally ill, unquote. Well, how about Ashley Montagu? She spoke to 1,000 home economic teachers in Anaheim, California in 1970. She stated, the American family structure produces mentally ill children. Shall I continue? I got a whole load of them. How about Common Core? That's part of it. How about No Child Left Behind? That's part of it. Family, it's a conspiracy by Satan. Not Jews, not Muslim, not just Masons. It's a conspiratorial agenda based on the supernatural, and man is nothing but a mere slave following his own lust and desires for to be a god of some kind, all the way up to LaHaye, to your presidents, James Dodson, every president, I can name them all. Missler is a member of the Council of National Policy. The Council of National Policy is a secretive right-wing group under the Council of Foreign Relations. Family, they have put those we think on our side to infiltrate, to lie to us, to tell us 80% truth and 20% to keep us placated. I'm exposing raw truth to your family today. Who's got the truth? God does, through Jesus Christ. Where do you find it? You got it. King James Bible. When you give your life to Jesus, you, he will touch with the Holy Spirit. Brock Chisholm, George Brock Chisholm, a speech given at the Conference of Education, Alamar, California, September 11th, 1954. He said, and I quote, to achieve world government, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. Unquote. So one way they do it is by racial manipulation. This is just one tiny way that goes back to the year 1400. Until 1960. It's just like feminism. It is vast. It is incredibly detailed, manipulated. Generations planned for the next generation. To set up a dictatorship by design. You know, I sit here kind of wondering how to explain this. Honestly, I'm not intending on being dramatic. I'm just really kind of figuring, how can I best explain this about how they've used the racial differences to cause us to fight each other, to then cause us to want peace, naturally, but under their control? That's the problem. When I look at the articles, for example, some articles I got here, I'm not going to elaborate too much on it, but rising number of Muslims reporting dreams about Jesus, a long-haired, white-robed Jesus. Do you know they can implant dreams and target individuals? Oh, I've proven this over and over. It's where the veterans commit suicide. They're being orchestrated. Dreams can be implanted through microwave technology. It's being done. This is old technology. And who's the long-haired, white-robed Jesus? Sananda Emanuel. You got some of these Christian stations that are bringing sweet little girls on. I had a dream about Jesus coming to me in the desert. Long-haired, white robe. They make sure. Family, that's not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's your Yeshua. That's Sananda. Family, this is happening. I heard it this morning. The Christian stations, some of the Christians don't know this. They don't know this. The Brittany Maynard and Oregon's death wish, 29-year-old with dignity law to end her life. Guess where? In Oregon. Were they trying to pass a child euthanasia? In Oregon. Where's witchcraft at its very highest, besides up north, Massachusetts and places like that? Is Oregon. They're attacking the Oklahoma Bible Belt with all this homosexual stuff and all this and changing laws because that's the belt buckle to the Bible Belt. There's a great big agenda going on, family. The Pope says God's not a magician. The Pope says that God is not a magician. The Pope says Christians should believe in evolution and the Big Bang. He is a Jesuit. And the Pope is intentionally working to create a church split, setting up the re-spiritualization of the Roman Catholic Church. And here the Vatican thinks that this suicide by Brittany Maynard is wicked. And yet he blasphemes God's name. What in the world is going on? Now, marijuana has got its really bad points that they're not telling you about. I'm not going over that right now. That's another 15 minutes. But they're legalizing marijuana for mass medication. And the e-cigarettes will change to e-marijuana rets. Well, guess what? Legal marijuana gets its major test, and guess where? Can you guess? Oregon, Alaska, and D.C. But Oregon is the first one. Hey, Oregon. There's going to be a whole lot of water coming your way, buddy. Let me tell you, God's not going to be happy with you. Oregon. Euthanasia for adults and children. Oregon. Wicca witchcraft. Oregon. Legalizing marijuana to mass medicate. And you get started there like they did the same-sex marriage. Then you get state, that state, 10 states, 15. Get it. That's, man, they're on the way. People just sitting back and letting it happen. And now the Southern Baptist. Here we go. Southern Baptist. They begin the same-sex marriage dialogue now with the LGBT community. A dialogue they'll be witnessing. Besides Southern Baptists in the convention, you better turn to your Freemasons and tell them to renounce the blood oath while you're talking to the witnessing to the homosexuals. You tell the Freemasons to stay out of those jester meetings. Uh-huh. And renounce the blood oath and shut down your lodges. Yeah, you're not going to do that. I know that. But that's what you better do. But you're not going to. So while you're working with the LGBT community of homosexual, lesbian, etc., working with them, you need to be witnessing to them. At the same time, witness to Freemasons to renounce the blood oath. And evangelize people, not working with trying to make it okay, but letting them know if you continue your sinful ways, you're going to hell. But they're not doing that. Pope Francis says the Big Bang Theory does not contradict the role of God. Pope Francis says he's replacing the Holy Spirit with guardian angels. And the Pope calls Jesus a liar, and the Pope calls the Bible a lie. And all these things. I'd say falling away is on the way. What do you think about that? And being that there's three popes and all three are Jesuits, and the Jesuits are against the Roman Catholic Church because Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit priest, is the father of the New Age movement. The New Age movement is the pagan roots of the Roman Catholic Church before 325 A.D. Same thing. It's called a reconstruction of the Catholic Church. And that's happening as I speak. And then you got this article. I'm going to end it here. Oh, yeah. Moon-sized UFO near sun may be evidence of type 2 alien civilization. Oh, that's about the alien invasion. Yeshua, Sananda, all that nonsense. That's coming. They just set this all up for it. And then the terrible truth. Look up the terrible truth about pot finally coming to light. That's an article you might want to read. I'm not going to go over it. And then the last article, why the government fears veterans. Battle of Athens, Tennessee. The government don't fear veterans. You've got Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, generals that are working for the Vatican, and they're a part and parcel, they know about the 26 suicides per day of our veterans that's being orchestrated and planned. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it themselves. You've got real talkers in the veterans groups, oath keepers, patriot groups that work for the Vatican, that work for the other side, and you don't know it. I've been saying this a long time. It's been coming out. Be prepared. But family, we'll let you know something before I move on. It don't matter what I tell you today about all this bad stuff. They lose. They will never, it's impossible for them to win. It's impossible. This is, gives people the opportunity to make their choices which side they're on. That's all it is. There's people going to die. There's going to be war. When God allows it, that'll be the ultimate test. Family, you're going to have to decide which side you're going to be on. Racial characteristics. I'm just going to start talking. I'm not sure where to start, to tell you the truth. Where did the races come from in the first place? That's a good way to start. And I'll probably go into part two tomorrow. Because this, I talked about feminism. Now, feminism and the racism part, I'm not sure I step in it, don't I? Really kind of go hand in hand. Because the same techniques and methodology used by using feminism, funded by the Rockefellers. Oh, glory there. Was funded by the CIA. Why feminism? To destroy the family. I've already talked the past 45 minutes to an hour. You destroy a country by destroying the family. You destroy the family, same-sex marriage, causing the children to be disobedient, all this. You see, that all plays into role. Who talks about this? Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, United Nations at their talk groups, Bilderbergs. That's what they talk about. The death education that's being given to us as children. All this is part of it. To divide the family, you do what? You destroy the country or the civilization. Why? Because the construct of the family is the basis of how to set this up. So destroy it. And I'm telling you the ways they do it. And they plan generations ahead. For nothing, because they're going to fail. But anyway, in the meantime, the races, when the flood, okay, before the flood was total evil. You know about that. Then the ark landed. The dove came down. There you go. Off the ark they went. Family, Noah didn't have a China, Oriental DNA, black DNA, and white DNA in one man. So now if you don't believe the Bible, you probably want to hear my broadcast. Because this is based on the supernatural. It's based on, actually, scientific principles. One man's going to have a set of DNA. Now they try to show you in some of these articles, white man, white woman had black baby. They try, I don't know how they do this, but yeah, all this stuff, in vitro or something or another. They try to come up with these articles that, you know, whatever, to show you this. But in reality, DNA was set in Noah. Because it says in the Bible, he was perfect in his generation. That means specifically. Now, other Bibles don't say that. You know that? The Bibles don't say that. They take that away. They don't want you to see that. Noah was perfect in his generation. What scripture is that? Because that's real important. Because that's talking about his DNA. Genesis 6:9. Perfect in his generations. The account of Noah and his family. That's very important. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. He was righteous. So that covers his Genesis 6:9. King James Bible talks about it. It says, this is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, no human is perfect in his moral behavior. Noah got drunk. Noah probably got angry sometimes. So what does this mean, perfect in his generation? Only perfect was who? No, Adam wasn't perfect. No human's ever been perfect, right? Who's been perfect? Jesus has. So that's something wrong there. So what are we talking about here? Well, it says he was a just man. Okay, that's, he can be just. He walked with God, means he's righteous. Okay. So perfect in his generations. What was not perfect in the generation? The Nephilim. The corrupted DNA. Body structure. Ah, there you go. Because he didn't have it. He didn't have the corruptness of the body structure. Their bloodline was kept pure. So was the wives. Because the wives, if they had the Nephilim bloodline, it would have been overshadowed by the male anyway. Over the generations. You can't see. They, how many tribes and civilizations of giants existed after the flood throughout the earth? Joshua had a lot to contend with, man. Giants. In the second wave of fallen angels after the flood, they came back. Goliath was one of them. He had five brothers. Og, O-G. These big boys. They were Nephilim. They were giants, corrupted DNA from the fallen angels. Again, even up to the 10th, 9th, and 10th century on North American plain, you had the skinwalkers. They were corrupted DNA. So going back to Noah, perfect in his generation means God got rid of all that old DNA that the angels, fallen angels and Satan tried to corrupt the line of man. He failed. The water killed them all. And got Noah and his three wives and three sons. So what happened? Okay. Cut through the mustard here. Japheth went north because the earth was one land. One earth. It wasn't split yet. I mean, after all, the animals came to the ark, right? You think those animals had canoes? I don't think so. So you had 3,000 miles of ocean, if you consider that the North American continent, man, was like 3,000 miles or more across the ocean. They're not going to make it, man. They're not going to make it. A canoe's not going to make it across the Atlantic Ocean back then. You only hold so many coconuts and dates, understand? They didn't have jerky back then. Oh, man. So, no, the earth was one. One piece of land, one giant earth. Noah was perfect in his generation. So what happened? Well, when they came off that ark, it's time now to go forth and multiply. Uh-huh. Had wives. Ready to go. Let's start making some babies, baby. All right. So Japheth goes north of this landmass. Shem stays middle. And Ham goes south. Ham's accursed. Ham still Middle Eastern. Shem still Middle Eastern. Japheth still Middle Eastern. Or whatever culture they are. It would be middle somewhere there. But they're all the same culture. Then they go out and spread out over the land. 10 generations later, even past Nimrod, you had the Tower of Babel. Remember, 3 generations after the flood, you had Nimrod in that cursed generation. Nimrod, obviously, the first Antichrist, built the Tower of Babel. Why? The Tower of Babel was to go to heaven, but it's a different heaven. There's a second heaven. That's where the fallen angels live, as they do today, through ritual, human sacrifice. And that's why Shem kills Nimrod, cut him up in pieces too, because he was killing, he was ritualizing killing children, like the Mayans did. Witchcraft, alchemy, the craft, masonry, was taught to Nimrod by the fallen angels. A warrior before God means in your face, God, is what that means. So to stop the man coming together to plot against God, as it says in the Bible, God changed their languages. Now, God can do that. If he can create Adam from nothing, a universe from nothing, he can change. If God can translate Enoch from a mortal body to to a immortal body, if I'm still alive, God can change languages just like that. So everybody's speaking a different language. And what are you going to do when you can't talk to the person next and you're like going to freak out, man? What are you talking? What? You're going to go with someone that can understand what you're saying. And what are y'all going to do? You're going to get out of there. You're like panicked. That's all taking place in the Middle East. Thereabouts. So everybody's going to split and be with the ones that they can understand what they're saying, aren't they? You're going to migrate, get away from there. When everybody had been settled, Japheth north, Shem Middle East, and Ham south of this landmass, look it up. Along the generation of Peleg, God divided the land. Now, why did he throw that in there? God divided the land. Around the 10th generation, look up Preleg, Preleg. God divided the land. There's a gap there of history. Somewhere, there's legends that I don't go with legends much, but they have some truth in them and some don't. So I don't put a lot of stock in it. But Bible doesn't talk about it, except God divided the land. Well, we got the continents today. Where'd they come from? Well, let me tell you what happened very quickly. In Peleg, P-E-L-E-G, Peleg's day, when God divided the land, know that the earth has a power structure of it, just like the body does. So when God divided the land, you know it had to be pushed those continents apart. You know there's going to be a lot of upheaval. And that was like 10 generations or more from the day that the ark landed. So you had the fallen angels teaching a lot of witchcraft, a lot of more of the knowledge of good and evil, masonry, and so forth. That when God moved the continents apart, that would have caused massive tidal waves and so forth, tsunamis, all kinds of things going on. This is speculation. But it says in the Bible, in Peleg's days, the earth was divided. But he divided the land. You see how that works? Till today you got the continents apart. He separated all the continents. And when he did that, the earth has different power structures of electromagnetic energy that does affect DNA. As a matter of fact, studies have shown that language changes DNA. So when he moved apart, the animals then started evolving from their species, not horizontal, but vertical, different species because of where they lived over a period of 10 generations. In other words, it's why you don't find a polar bear in Africa. Why wouldn't you find a polar bear in Africa? Why is a polar bear specific for the north? Why don't you find a polar bear in Africa? Because that position on the globe does not support the development of DNA for that bear species. Family, it's so bad, you're not going to find oranges in Maine. Don't you notice that sometimes, even in the United States, if you are indigenous to your family bloodline goes back generations in Chicago, there's a certain specific appearance of eyes and the facial structure of people from Chicago that's not like anybody else. Or in California or in the South. That's indigenous to that part of the area. Every structure part of this earth affects the DNA over the long term. Now, when God divided the people so they would not plot against him, he first divided the languages. Doesn't say anything about the body yet. He either divided the body to its racial group instantly or over the long term. Doesn't say which. So there could be a, you know, you could argue the point either way. It certainly would have been dramatic if he changed the body structure at the same time he changed the languages. That would have been a real shocker. Or they just changed the languages and panicked and went their own way, got with people they could speak to, and said, let's get out of here. And they set up. Then when everybody was set up, God pulled the land apart. 10 generations. That's almost 700-800 years later. And by living in different parts of the earth over the period of generations, would then have resulted in the change of body structure. That's why you have black south. You have Middle Easterner bronze skin in the middle part of Middle East. Hello. And up north, you got the white folk. And they go in the same area of the white folk in Europe. That's where they came from. Go east, you got Oriental. Still kind of white, right? The skin color, the pigment, the melanin, or whatever you want to call it. But the eyes change a little bit. Skin gets a yellowish tint to it. But they're still kind of Caucasian. All in the same area. Family, that's how the power structure works. So God either changed it instantly and divided the races, or it was over a long period of time, like 10 generations plus. Why would God be the first segregationist? Why would God divide us all so we wouldn't plot against him? He changed the languages already. Now, what Satan did was to cause these different cultures. He said, okay, God's going to do that. Here's what I'm going to do. He caused us all to fight each other instead of working together. God never intended this for intermarriage because each race has its own particular characteristics and DNA. But Satan said, I'm going to have these countries. I'm going to have patriotism. I'm going to have countries with flags. I'm going to set up wars. And the wars I can use for ritualized sacrifice. I'm going to have the races fight each other. And that's exactly what he did. And I want to combine all the races back together in one race. And guess what he chose? The North American continent. And the first invasion of another race by design in the North American continent was the white folk leaving Europe under religious persecution beginning around the year 1492. Because to get them to do it, in the year 1200 AD, the Roman Catholic Church started murdering those who rejected Roman Catholicism, and also using it as anti-witches. It wasn't a witch sacrifice back, that was a Freudian slip. It wasn't about witchcraft at all. That was a lie. Dissension and rebellion. You get repression and dictatorship by consent. So, Columbus Day, Columbus was Illuminati. Columbus was an avatar. I've got it documented in the Illuminati's own textbook, Columbus. By the year 1492, laid the groundwork for the whites to find a way to get the Dickens out of there after 200 years of repression and death, to leave Europe to go to and invade another country, another continent. That's what we did. But we're escaping religious persecution. However, guess who followed you, white folk? The Fabians did. So now, in the year 1600, about 100 years later, guess what you white folk did? You had something called tobacco, and you needed to work the fields. So the Rothschilds found an opportunity to bring the third culture in. And you white folk down there in the South, in the so-called Bible Belt, you enslaved another culture, the blacks. Under the guidance of the Rothschild in the year 1600s. So there come the third culture under slavery. So here's the kicky part of it, though. In 1711, they brought over Willie Lynch. Look up the Willie Lynch letters. And that's not a hoax. They'll tell you it's a hoax. It's not a hoax. From one of the islands. I forgot exactly which island it was. Barbados or... one of those. Anyway, Willie Lynch was contracted. He was a black guy, Willie Lynch, a slave trader, working with and contracted by the Rothschilds, came to America in 1711, and Willie Lynch was contracted by the Rothschilds to train the white slave owners in the so-called Bible Belt on how to make a better slave, to now subjugate another culture, but under the slavery. But what the white folk didn't know was the same letter Willie Lynch wrote and to train the white slave owners. What the white folk didn't know, they're going to use the same criteria to keep the white folk under slavery without knowing it. You're a slave today. You don't even know it, do you? That's correct. So they're making you think that you're actually slave owners, when actually you're slaves as well. But you enslaved, beat, killed, murdered another culture. And genetic manipulation. And the horrific conditions of getting slaves under control was unbelievable. And white folk, you got a lot to repent for. In the South. And the black folk got a lot of forgiving to do. But see, Satan used this racial separation for bad instead of what was meant to be good to work together. Satan said, okay, I'm going to cause division among them. So the first act was the Revolutionary War of white folk against white folk. And did you know that in the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, the role that the blacks played in your government, in our government, and their government was massive? I hope to talk about that this week. The role that the black folks played in the government is being kept from everybody. Significant role the blacks played in the Revolutionary War, in the Civil War, was significant because they're fighting for the same reason. We subjugated the Indians. We subjugated the blacks, white folk. You got a lot to repent for. And all the time, Satan is bringing more people in, more foreigners in, to the North American continent. And the Indians and Mexicans being shoved out, taken out, land confiscated. Oklahoma land grab. Oklahoma land grab for what? What do you mean land grab? It belonged to the Indians. Sorry, but it did. Mexico belonged to Mexicans. Texas, Alamo, that was a false flag. I'm not making too many friends today, but I got evidence on this. Ho, ho, I got tons of it. I speak the truth. I have no allegiance to anyone but Jesus Christ. Whether y'all like it or not, I can't help that. Not my problem. If I have to teach myself, I will. But I got a broadcast, and I'm going to tell the truth no matter what. I have evidence, too. You want the evidence? I'm going to give it to you. Now listen carefully to the part about aliens. We're not talking about extraterrestrial. March 4th, 1939. Illuminati president. A Satanist. Absolutely. Responsible for Pearl Harbor. Setting it up. Pushing the World War I as hard as he could. And fireside chats. Lying through his collective teeth. A president by the name of FDR. He said behind closed doors, his own quote, not mine, his. This is verified by Senator Lundeen, a senator back then, and Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr. And this has not been refuted, and it won't be. You can deny it and call it a hoax if you want to. But it's documented by a senator who attended this supposed to be kept secret meeting. He revealed it in 1950, about 15 years after, and sometime after FDR died in Yalta. Then he revealed the, here's what it says. Now, listen specifically to the part about aliens that confirms what I'm telling you that goes back to the 1600s and 1400s. This is connected. This has always been their agenda. Here's what he said behind closed doors in front of three congressional committees, and I quote, FDR, the real FDR, as he's representative of all the other presidents that's ever been, except for five. George Washington, John Adams, Andrew Jackson. Now, I have a problem with him because of his attitude toward the Indians, but nevertheless. Lincoln, who was a non-Mason, and JFK, non-Mason, and McKinley. All the other presidents were a bunch of ragbags and liars, Freemasons at the highest level, Knights of Malta, and Luciferians, every doggone one of them, working for the Illuminati and the Fabian Society. You got it? And the Jesuits. Every one of them. Up till today, Obama, Bush, Clinton, Jimmy Carter, Reagan, Nixon, LBJ, Eisenhower, Truman, every doggone one of them. Here's what FDR said, representative of all of them. I quote, I am making, it's 1939, March the 4th, 2 years before Pearl Harbor, and 6 years after a planned military coup of the U.S. government. That's correct. Okay, He said, and I quote, "I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people," that's Illuminati, "ahead of all instruments." Instruments were American people that were used as collateral. It's another story. Oh, man. "Ahead of all instruments, and the instruments were American people. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only. To hell with American people, as far as democracy is concerned. It does not exist, it never did, and we will never let it happen that way." Now listen. Quote, "I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible, in the last analysis, declare martial law, confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My new deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me I must discontinue my present activities and program." Unquote. "And you'll also be known, be it known to you, family, that 100 years before this, a cousin, ancestral cousin of FDR, in 1841, he published in America, which I've got a copy of, by the way, 1841, copyright, "The Science of Government Founded on Natural Laws." That's humanism. That's the plan for world government Clinton Roosevelt published. However, it was a plagiarized version of the teachings of Professor Adam Weishaupt of Frankfurt University in Germany, who was a Jesuit priest. Happened to be a Jew, of course. But so is the Irish. So is all the rest of them are part of this agenda. But Adam Weishaupt completed the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion based on the natural laws of humanism and the plot we're living with today. Now, Clinton Roosevelt just plagiarized Adam Weishaupt's plan that started with beginning May the 1st, 1776. So from 1776 to 1841, Manzini, Clinton Roosevelt published this Science of Government Founded on Natural Laws. And did you know that 7 years later, they passed that document on to Karl Marx? Yeah, and Karl Marx plagiarized it? Yeah, buddy. Yeah, that became the communism. And Karl Ritter was told to write fascism so the two would fight each other in the 20th century by design. Albert Pike set up the three world wars. Family, this is all substantiated. It's a fact. And the plans from 1841 were set in motion, called long-range plans. The fact is that FDR's New Deal, NRA, and other political policies and economic devices fit in the long-range plans. So the conspiracy to make America, this diverse country, was contained in this plan from 1841 to 1945. And 1945 began the takedown of the family. And the takedown of America was orchestrated after 1945. Using feminism, civil rights movement, orchestrated wars in Korea with the end already designed, and Vietnam with the end already designed, leads us to a new world order in about four different attempts after 1945. Because 1945, we're supposed to be a new world order in six phases with Hitler in charge and control, working together with his cousins. You know who his cousins were? Adolf Hitler's cousins? Queen Elizabeth II, Stalin, and Churchill. We're all second cousins to Adolf Hitler. Family, this is a Luciferian agenda. Everything comes to order under this. And now back to racial characteristics. They've used race as a means of chaos, feminism as a use of chaos to destroy the families and cause dissension at the right time, according to their planning. You see how it works? This is how Satan is operating. This is, to me, this is amazing how this works out. But family, all this planning, all this secrecy, it will fail. And the failure of their plans is documented in the book of Revelations. The script, if you want to call it that, was written when John of Patmos was brought up to heaven and given his revelation through Jesus Christ of how it was going to end. But not end, but head to a new beginning of an eternity. You have it written already in the script. You might call it the King James Bible. So all I'm doing today is revealing how Satan operates and how people are cooperating with his plans and the players. Oh, there's like 26 families in Illuminati. The inside 13 are Italian. The outside are 13 mixed Scotch, Irish, English, Jews. They're all mixed up. They all of them have one thing in common. They worship Lucifer. So now, how has he used the races? Now, I've talked about the feminism before. It's on my website, watchmenforjesus.com. I talked in detail about feminism and how they used it to divide the family. To divide the family, you destroy the country. Now it's races. Now I'm going to talk tomorrow in detail about race specifically. Today, apparently, and yesterday was laying the groundwork. This is complicated to explain. It really is. To try to make it simple enough to in a short period of time. Did you know when I was talking about pre-leg, the period of pre-leg, that God divided the land and the races, and then after that the races either developed or they're already changed by God's power. Either one. Either way, we have what we have today. God calls us to fight each other. That's how it worked. Flags, patriotism, all that was designed by Satan. I'm sorry, but it was. I mean, boy, this cuts in deep, don't it? But it's the truth. As a matter of fact, I'll give you one more quote to show you how this works, about how we've been fooled, veterans. We've been fooled. Do we have real enemies? Absolutely. Did they really want to be our enemies? No, but they were led by false leaders, as we were led by false leaders, as I've proven. Quote, "Beware the leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip the citizens into a patriotic fervor. For patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It both emboldens the blood just as it narrows the mind. When the drums of war have reached a fever pitch and the blood boils with hate and the mind has closed, the leader will have no need in seizing the rights of the citizen. Rather, the citizen, infused with fear, blinded by patriotism, will offer up all their rights under the leader, and gladly so. How do I know? For this is what I have done, and I am Caesar." Julius Caesar was an avatar. He was trained. He was channeled by these fallen angels to get right down to it. Possessed, if you will, like Hitler was. Like all the rest of them have been. As a matter of fact, check this out. Hermann Göring, 1945, said, and I quote, "Why, of course the people don't want war. Why should some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece? Naturally, the common people don't want war. Neither in Russia, nor in England, nor in that matter in Germany. That is understood. But after all, it is the leaders of the country who determine the policy. It's always a simple matter to drag the people along. Whether it's a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship, voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That's easy. All you have to do is tell them that they're being attacked, denounce the peacemakers for lack of patriotism, and exposing the country is in danger. It works the same in any country. Unquote, Hermann Göring. Family, we've been fooled. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, only through him. Will you find the truth? The patterns emerge to get us as races to fight each other, as countries to fight each other. Lenin, a solid student of Weishaupt and the humanist point of view, he attained power in late 1917, about the same time they were planning the extraterrestrial hoax, by the way, with John Dewey. Yeah, you heard me right. Vladimir Lenin was able to dispense with every one of their revolutionaries that was against them, advancing toward a civil war from 1918 to 1921, justifies acts by crisis, promises of liberty and rights, Russian propaganda, which they do to us every day, always have. A number of patterns emerged out of it. The ends defy the means. The first is with the mostest. Ever heard of these before? Never let a crisis go to waste. Demonization, denouncing the opponents, calling them bloodsuckers and insects and spiders and leeches and vampires and dictators and evil. The murder of Tsar Nicholas II and his family was termed a humane act. That's how they do it. They vilify the enemy, no matter what. Sound familiar? Propaganda of example. We must execute, he says, we must execute not only the guilty. Execution of the innocent will impress the masses even more. That's what Willie Lynch taught the slave owners in 1711. To get the blacks under subjugation, Willie Lynch in 1711 taught the slave owners. Number one, you divided the blacks into different shades of white and black. Different shades of black. You put some in the big house and some in the slave quarters. Then you separate the men and women. Then you separate the young and the old. And then when you get one that's real cocky, like a leader, you mass everybody together. The women and children on one side, and the other slaves on the other. You're not going to like this, but it's what they did. And they've been doing it ever since. Through the Civil War and before, this is the method they used. Certainly in 1700s to 1800s. And so they take out the chief. They take out the brave one. And they pin him to the ground. Separated arms and legs like a satanic ritual. He secured down the ground and they'd tie horses on all four limbs. They'd tar him, set him on fire, and then cause the animals to go different directions. Now, that horrific scene, after that occurred, they would almost flog half to death the other males. And then the women and children would see this. And then what would happen? The generations from then on would teach the children to do what they're told to do. until it became normal to do what the master said, and people not even knowing why. That was absolutely horrific. It was satanic to the utmost. Even in the 1930s and 40s, the KKK, Freemasons, would burn crosses in people's houses and hang, for no reason, would hang blacks on trees. Let's call for what it is. But going back to those days, and what's worse, what they did, genetic manipulation. They got rid of the weak, kept the strong. They did it just like they did horses. Family, keep in mind, this is satanic. That goes within the government even. And secret societies. This is very solemn what I'm talking about. So they separated the weak, kept the studs just like they would horses, and breed the studs, breed the most athletic, the strongest, and kill off the poor and the weak. Then they subjugated the Indians into reservations. And the Mexicans ran back to Mexico. And then in comes the influx of aliens from all over. And I got evidence. 1948, 1953. I quote, Director, World Health Organization, Dr. Brock Chisholm, said when he was Director of the World Health Organization, this rascal, I have to use different names these days, I mean, I'd like to call him something else, but I'm not going to. He said, and I quote, from William G. Carr's book. Two quotes. One that William G. Carr is quoting, and then Brock Chisholm as we head toward the end of the program today. Part three tomorrow. Brock Chisholm, or William G. Carr said, and I quote, after the nations have been merged in an international state, the directors intend to crown the head of Illuminati, King Despot of the Universe. Family, that's the Antichrist. Continuing quote. The agentur of the Illuminati will next proceed to eradicate racial characteristics by mixing the black, red, yellow, and white races. This experiment has already been carried out on a large scale. Dr. Brock Chisholm, as director of World Health Organization, 1948 to 1953, has advocated on Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that, quote, Brock Chisholm, quote, by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear, unquote. The next step in the diabolical plan would be to render the masses docile and obedient to their masters. This is to be accomplished by mass medication. Experiments along these lines have been conducted extensively since 1900 AD. Fluoridation fits perfectly in this phase of the conspiracy. Quote, the increase of the world's population is to be strictly controlled on the excuse, should we say the lie, excuse that the earth cannot feed the numbers which will result from unrestricted birth, despite the fact that starvation and the want are brought about by diabolical controls, unquote. Then to decide who's going to be born, who's not, by artificial insemination. They've already started transplanting the wombs. They already have men that's giving babies because they're transgender. Family, we're on the verge really close. This has all been planned out. Everything I've got's verified. Factual. This is how Satan has been operating since Adam and Eve. This is what I tell you all. I connect the dots to show you how Satan is really operating. He doesn't fly around on a broom and say, oh, I'll just bombard here and witness these and do this, do that, and this, that, and the other. No. This is organized through our UN, toward our Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, through the governments, through the leaders that follow witchcraft, Freemasonry, Satanism, Luciferianism. And they lose because Jesus Christ comes back at Armageddon. It will happen. And you think he's going to let all this go by no? No, he's not. There's going to be judgment. You can guarantee it. Family, take Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the bottom line. And help others to go on that path. Now, family, I got a whole lot more to talk about for the next 3 days, 4 days. It's going to talk around these efforts of feminism and racism. And from this, I'll expose their plans and what you can pray against and how you can witness to others. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line. Because God's in control. He's allowing certain latitude to Satan because we pull away from him. You see the latitude taking ground. But the closer they get to success, the sooner they're going to be put away. And Jesus Christ will have peace on this earth for 1,000 years. Then comes Gog and Magog and the final to eternity. The family tribulation's got to come. For all this I've told you, there's got to be a calling for it. There's got to be someone held responsible on this earth that made the wrong choices. God has given even them the opportunity to change. Some of them don't make it. That's why he's patient. But you can see his patience is wearing out. How do you know that? Because of the latitude that's being given to Satan and his minions. Same-sex marriage, child euthanasia, the increase of supernatural events happening that's evil. Those are indicators. The signs of the times are increasing. That's how you know his patience is getting low. Family, tomorrow, 4 o'clock tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9. We're going to hit the ground running. And then tomorrow at 4 o'clock, continue on with the racial manipulation. I'm going to talk specifically about races, and this is kind of setting up ground line. Some of it I'll repeat tomorrow, but not a lot of it, just to lay the basis for, and we're going to continue on all week long, exposing everything I can to show you how you're being manipulated. And that, by knowing the truth, you can fight against it. And fighting is not about an M16, gas-operated, magazine-fed shoulder weapon. It's about the Word of God is where it's at. And by prayer, by fasting, by following him to the very end, which is actually a beginning. Let you all know that we're played up at portradio.net on a random basis by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highportradio.net. He's got sponsors up there. He plays our broadcast and Bible studies randomly on his network. My website, WatchmanForJesus.com. My Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. Now, I also want to show you how they're, well, I'll talk about that tomorrow, about Jesus and Isaiah 14:12 and Luke 10:18 and Revelation 22:16. We'll talk about that because I'm not going to leave you hanging on that. I'll tell you about that tomorrow, what they're trying to do now. They just never give up, but they better because... They're going to lose. Y'all have a good night now. And we'll see y'all come about tonight if you're coming by. My Bible study is 8 to 9. And tomorrow, if not, 4 o'clock. I'll leave my archives up. I'll have them up by tonight. And here we go. Y'all have a good night. And God bless y'all. You win through Jesus. He's already won. All it is to decide which side you're on. Have a good night. God bless you. This is your Watchman, signing off.
He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. with you every day to the end.